Tell him and why.
Well, those of you who have been following this series of names on God, I'm sure you could answer this question. For those of you who haven't heard one of these messages on the names of God, or this is your first hearing of the series of names of God that I've been presenting, I guess the easiest answer to this question is that names in the Bible have meaning. Names in the Bible have meanings. Many times those names are connected to a person's character or their personality. I'll give you an example. Naomi, from the book of Ruth in the Bible, her name means pleasant. Naomi, in English, would be translated pleasant. And no doubt she was a sweet, pleasant woman. However, she went through a time of great sorrow in her life and trouble. And it was during this time that she requested that her name be changed to Mara, which means bitter. Bitter. The Lord's many names, I think, emphasize His character, His person as well. It's a way for us to comprehend, or at least in a little limited way, understand the eternal God. Consider the following names of God that I've shared with you previously and their connection to who He is and what He can do for His people. The first one I'd like to take a look at is in Isaiah, Isaiah 57:17. For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. Did you catch his name there? Holy, good. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the hearts of the contrite ones. So we saw his name. What did he say he'll do for his people here? What was that? Revive their spirit, okay. Good. What's he going to dwell besides in the holy place? Right. Okay. With us. Great. Now let's go on to the next one. Exodus 34:14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Okay. You seeing it there? Names and how it could fit with us. Exodus 6:3. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Almighty. There is El Shaddai. But my name is Yahweh. Was I not known to them? So, I'm going to keep going through here. You spot the name and how it applies. These are all ones that I've talked about already. Exodus 3:13-15. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you, and this is my name forever. And thus, I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Quite a number of names, and we talked about that recently. Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted as God with us. Now, I barely touched on this probably about 6 months ago, and I'm going to do, a sermon in December, when the whole world's thinking about God with us as Jesus, and I'll try to come back and emphasize the Emmanuel and give you some more insights on that one. Matthew 1:21, and he shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall be he shall save his people from their sins. And the last one I want to show you is Revelation 19:16. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, as you know, this list could go on and on with all the precious names of our wonderful Lord. And I just did a quick recap of some of the scriptures and themes that we've talked about over the last year. But just composing a list of names of God is a blessing, for it makes us consider Him. And that's what I started this series on, is I want us to think about Him a little bit more so that we can improve in our relationship to Him if we get to know who He is. As far as what name you choose to call Him is dependent, I think, upon what trait or attribute or characteristic you want to emphasize. When you talk to Him, when you thank Him for salvation, you might call Him what? Savior. Redeemer. Or some name that emphasizes the fact that He is the authority of eternal salvation. If you're talking about His authority and power, you might use like God Almighty and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Again, all those names have importance and significance and deserve our attention. They all reveal something about God. Well, this morning, I like to go in and take a look at seven names, seven Hebrew names, and they're listed here on this next slide. First of all, I want to remind you that we had a discussion or one of the messages and we talked about the difference between Yahweh and Jehovah. My preference is Yahweh from the research I have discovered, but you have probably heard, and also in the King James Version, it's pronounced, they pronounce it Jehovah. So anytime you might see that in the King James Version, or anytime you might see in your NIVs or New American Standards the word Lord, all capitalized, we're talking about Yahweh here. These are the seven names I'd like to look at this morning. Yahweh Shema, Yahweh Shalom, Yahweh Ra'ah, Yahweh Jireh, Yahweh Nisi, Yahweh, this is a fun one, Tsidkenu, that TS sound, we don't have one of those in our English, Tsidkenu, Yahweh Rapha. And what I'd like to do is today translate those Hebrew words into the way it's displayed in our Bible and our English. And so I want to briefly take a look at these names. I call them the seven redemptive names of God. I'll explain that in a second. But I also want to take a look briefly at their value to us as Christians. These are Old Testament names, but they're also New Testament names. And they were translated over into the Greek and into our English so that we could have value in them because they have value in Christ and the cross. God revealed His name to certain saints in the Old Testament, but to those, but to us, these Old Testament names are redemptive names that are revealed to us on the cross and through the cross. Genesis 1:1. The Bible begins with the account of the creation. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The creative name of God in Hebrew is Elohim. Elohim is the plural form of God. It depicts His supremacy. It depicts His Godhead, the plurality there. And thus, the Godhead's power to create was revealed right from the beginning of time. So we see names identify what the person stands for, and God revealed His redemptive names to different men of the God in the Old Testament, and these names are also revealed to the saints in the New Testament through the redemptive work of Jesus on the cross. It takes men and women who are redeemed to know by what these redemptive names are and what they mean. Let's tackle the first one. The first redemptive name, Yahweh Shema, Yahweh Shema. It means that the Lord is ever present, or the Lord is there, or the Lord is my companion. If I was to look at Ephesians 2:13-14, it says, "God, through the redemptive work of Christ on the cross, has drawn us closer by the blood of Jesus." In Hebrews 13, He promised not to leave us nor forsake us, so we can boldly say that the Lord is our helper. Ezekiel 48:35 tells us, as He was talking about the city of the children of God, He says, "And the name of that city from that day on shall be the Lord is there, Yahweh Shema." The Lord is there. One revelation that you must have in your life if you are going to be a child of God is that His presence, His presence will carry you through every day. His presence you can carry with you. The Bible says the Lord is our present help. He is Yahweh Shammah. Not only are you of your tomorrow and your yesterday's help, but He's ever present. David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord Yahweh is with me. God's presence is everything. Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, Lord, as he was talking to God, bring us not. But know that God's presence is with and in you if you are his child. Once you understand and know that the Lord is there, there is absolutely nothing that can frighten you as a Christian. Consider Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel. Before they were thrown in the fire, it says he was there. God met these Hebrew boys in the fire and delivered them out. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. He is our very present help. He knows when you are encouraged or discouraged, when you stand tall or when you stand low, when you are crying or comforted. Trust in the Lord, for He is always there. Revelation 21, verses 3 through 4 says this, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. You see, God's presence is not limited or contained to a tabernacle or a temple or a church building. A lot of times we like to put finite things on God. But He is accessible to all who love and to obey Him anywhere. So again, Ephesians 2:13 says, God, through the redemptive work of Christ on the cross, has drawn us closer by the blood of Jesus. And Hebrews 13:5 says, He promises not to leave us nor forsake us, so we can boldly say that the Lord is our helper. According to 1 Corinthians 13:16, through Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in us. He is your Yahweh Shammah, your ever-present God. And you have to believe it and take Him at His word. Things in your life will change when He's ever-present in you. The second redemptive name of God is Yahweh Shalom. Now you've probably heard the Shalom before. You know what that means. The Lord is peace. Our peace. Our wholeness. You know, the Bible says, I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind stays on me. He is your wholeness. Remember Isaiah 9:6 that we went over a couple of lessons ago. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. That is the Yahweh Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Numbers 6, 24-26 says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Yahweh Shalom. Judges 6:23 says, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Nothing has the power to take your life without God's permission. If God says, you shall not die, who is he that can destroy your life? And what is he that can take your life when God said, you shall die? We need to understand that God is in control, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who says, well, even if we are to die, he has a plan. He's the God in control. There's nothing I'm going to do to prevent that. The Bible says when Jesus was on the cross, his Father forsook him. He was in control. He had a plan. He was forsaken so that you and I could be drawn closer, so that you and I could be drawn closer. In Ephesians 2:14 it says, He is our peace who has broken down the middle wall of partition. The prophet Isaiah said, speaking about Jesus the Messiah, that the chastisement of your peace is upon Him. The punishment of your peace, He, Jesus, took upon Himself. Hebrews 13:20 also says, Know that God, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. The world does not understand this kind of peace. This is peace that only God gives. He is your peace in times of trouble. When trouble happens and goes upon you, He's the one that will calm you and help you through. When you get to know Him as your Prince of Peace, He will never fail you. He may not show up when you think He should, but He's always there on time when you need Him. Knowing Him as your peace drives away fear from your life. He gives you peace in the midst of trouble and turns everything in your favor. You can have huge sums of money, the best clothes and cars, or you may have all that the world can offer, but if you do not have the peace of God, you will still be miserable. Or I could bring one movie star, one singer, somebody who's famous or rich after another in front of you and testify to that. This peace comes by the way of the cross. Until you believe what the cross represents and cast your cares upon Him, you will not experience that peace that only God can give. Because it's connected to the cross. God defeats our enemies to bring us peace. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. God brings inner peace and home. He is Yahweh Shalom, your peace and your wholeness. Well, let's move on to the third redemptive name of God. This is Yahweh Rohi, or Ra'a. It means your shepherd. God, your shepherd. Psalms 23 says, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yahweh is my Ra'a. My Ra'a. John 10:11 says, A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You know, Jesus on the cross gave his life for you. He is your shepherd, your king. I guess one might say that King David was a type of Christ in his time. He is the only Old Testament person that operated in three offices that Christ operated in. He was a savior for his people, especially for his sheep at that time that were his subjects. A king for his people, and also a prophet. David was a shepherd boy who took the sheep to the pasture, and when the lion and the bear came to take away his flock, he wrestled the sheep out of that lion's jaws as he killed the lion and killed the bear. Jesus is your shepherd. Because He is your shepherd, there is no devil strong enough to destroy you. He literally lays down His life for His sheep when He died there on the cross. Jesus said, They that the Father have given unto me, I am able to keep, and no man can snatch them out of my hand. They're mine, He says. You're mine. The Bible says that He is the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. Christ on the cross took upon Himself the sins of the world. Jesus, who has these two direct contrasts we see in the New Testament. The Bible says that He is the lamb and the lion of the tribe of Judah. To you, He is a lamb. To the devil, of course, He is a lion. The shepherd leads his flock with his staff and his rod. You know, I think about the shepherd with the staff and the rod, and I'm thinking, well, you know, Jesus leads us with the same thing. The rod representing the Word of God, and the staff representing His Spirit of God. Jesus leads us with His Word of truth and with His Spirit. Problem is, so often we like to get outside that and run away from that. He comforts and directs and leads us. When the sheep sleeps, the shepherd goes around at night, watching every sheep. In the Old Testament, the shepherd applied oil on the sheep to keep off insects from settling in and sucking the sheep's blood. In the New Testament, Jesus has anointed you with the oil of the Spirit, and the devil can't settle in nor suck your blood. That's how literal we have here. We have a protection spiritually against Satan. You are immune to the devil's diabolical attacks on your life. We can all say that we are not afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by noonday, because He is Yahweh Ra'ah, our shepherd. The Lord protects, the Lord provides, directs, leads, cares for us, His people, as a shepherd. God generally takes care of us as a strong and patient shepherd. He is Yahweh Ra'ah, our shepherd. Let's take a look at the fourth redemptive name this morning. Yahweh Jireh. How many of you have heard of the song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, okay? This is where it comes out of. Genesis 22:8 says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. You remember that story? Finally Abraham gets a son. A son, the son that God promised through his wife Sarah. And God chose to say, okay, does Abraham really love me? Does he really trust me? Does he really have faith in me? Just when Abraham thought about everything was going right, and he pulls the rug up from underneath him. Abraham, I'd like you to bring your son and sacrifice him. Of course, God doesn't want sacrifices of humans. Abraham should have known that. But he did say, God will provide. I think he did a little bit. Genesis 22:8. Abraham said to his son, who asked him, Father, where is the lamb? What are we going to sacrifice? And he said, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they both went on there together. You know, God will provide in their life. God owns everything. He is your El Shaddai. He can provide for you. When you understand that He is your provider, you will never fret or worry about things. God is your source. God lives in the believer, and the believer and God are one. Thus, if He is providing for Himself, He provides for you. That's the cool thing about it. He is the great provider. And when you don't trust Him, fear overtakes. When the strength of man fails, it says, God's going to take over. Remember Paul? He said, in my weakness, I am made what? Strong. His Spirit takes over my life. God is everything you need and will ever need. Psalm 5:6 says, God, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus is the provider of our life. Mark 10:45. Excuse me. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. He is providing life for us. Romans 8:2. It says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. I don't have to worry about sin and death. My life will go on, and my life, my spiritual life, will be set free because He provides. Just as God provided a ram as a substitute for Isaac, He provided His Son, Jesus, as the ultimate sacrifice on the cross for us. God will meet all our needs. Yahweh Jireh. He is our source of provision. God did not deny you Jesus, and He will not deny us anything else. He freely gives us all things according to Romans 8:32. It says, He, God the Father, who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him, or with Jesus, freely give us all things? He loves us. He wants to take care of us. He wants to provide for us. John 6:35, Jesus said that He was the bread of life, and anyone who comes to Him will be provided for. He is our Yahweh Jireh, our provider. I'm ready for the fifth one. The fifth redemptive name is Yahweh Nisi. Yahweh Nisi. Our banner. Our banner. What does that mean? Our victory. He is our victory. Exodus 17:15-16 says, "And Moses built an altar and called the name, and called and named it Yahweh Nisi. The Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with the Amalekites from generation to generation." You see, here he knew that God would take care of them, that he would be their banner against all these nations that were trying to take them captive, trying to conquer them. And he didn't fear anymore. God is our banner. With God being our banner, nobody can stand against us. Moses realized that God gives us victory in everything. Raise our voices in prayer. It's not by might nor by strength, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In that day, it says the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The root of Jesse, who's that? That's Jesus. He's going to stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him and his place of rest will be glorious. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather exiles of Israel. He will assemble them scattered people of Judah from four corners of the earth. Since Jesus is the root of Jesse, we know that he will banner for us. Ephesians 6:10-11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. You guys are always wonderful coming to the rescue. Thank you. The problem is once I get started with that, then I have all these problems. Yeah. I can never know what's better, to go dry or to keep going. Yeah. You know, Jesus destroyed the principalities and powers, made a public show over them, didn't he? You remember the cross? What happened when Jesus died on the cross? That hour that he died, that minute he died, what happened? Do you remember? Okay, he gave up the Spirit. And keep going. As soon as that happened, what happened across the land? Sky darkened. What else? Earthquake. Okay, like a storm going on there. What else happened? What is that? The curtain rips. The temple. Keep going. We're looking for you young people know it. Thriller. Right? The dead people started rising. He had a public display of power. He wasn't the only one who was going to rise. The dead people were rising. Wow. Our banner. You know, it also says the same scripture down, but this came to me. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead is in us through the Holy Spirit. What does that say about the power we can have with Him in us? We don't even touch it, do we? We don't rely on that. We do it all ourselves. We try to make it through ourselves. We don't have to. Jesus destroyed principalities and powers and made a public show over them. Triumphing over them on the cross. Amen. Thank you. God alone fights our battle. I can say that. You are the winner. Are you the winner? You are the winner. You are the champion. You have the victory. Exalted is the rock of your salvation. Lift up those hands, lift up those prayers, and keep them up until your enemies are defeated and destroyed. I don't think we raise the banner enough. The battle has already been won. The victory is yours. Jesus is your victory. God gives us victory against flesh, the world. Our battles are His battles of light against darkness and good against evil. He is Yahweh Nisi, your victory. Amen. So don't give up. Those things you're going through, don't give up. Allow Him to be Yahweh Nisi, your victory. The sixth redemptive name of Yahweh is that fun one. Tesidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. It means the Lord our righteousness. Now we need to think, look at that just to mean it. Romans 3:22-23 says, the people, all people have sinned and fall short of God's glory. But God freely makes us righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness. Isn't a terribly popular word anymore. So Yahweh to Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, may not seem all that relevant today. We need to take a second glance, however, I believe. This name of the Lord is one of the most powerful and most comforting ones He has given us. And an understanding will create, I think, a more heart bursting with gratitude. Righteousness means morally right or justifiable. Some of its synonyms may help us a little bit more. Here's the synonyms. Blameless. Blameless, guiltless, holy, innocent, just, sinless. You starting to see some of those connections? Our righteousness in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 23, the people were anything but sinless and guiltless. My high school class, college class on Wednesday night, we're seeing this over and over and over as we're going through these. They were full of guilt. In fact, they were in the process of being hauled off to exile, killed, hauled off to captivity for their constant and long-standing sin, idolatry, and unfaithfulness to the Lord. They had been warned over and over through the prophets. God had sent to them, but their hearts were hard. And finally, the judgment fell through. God did it with great reluctance. He didn't want to take them away. He didn't want to punish them. In the midst of the devastation, the Lord began to comfort them by revealing Himself to them in a new way that would carry them through the tough times ahead. God never gloats over sin. He always grieves over it. And if we are suffering the consequences of our own sin today, He always has a plan to bring us back to where His blessing is. He can bring us back and allow His blessings to flow again in our lives. The promise of the Lord for the people of Israel was that He was going to send them a Messiah. One who would sit on the spiritual throne of David again and provide a permanent solution. David's reign and the glory years of the Jewish now were a distant memory. The Messiah's rule and reign would be forever. Some 600 years later from the prophecy in Jeremiah, it was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. How exactly is the Lord our righteousness? Well, since every one of us except Jesus has sinned, according to the book here in Romans, we have no right to stand before God and say, here I am, Lord. Right, just, sinless, and blameless. I'm innocent, God. We don't have that right to say that. But Jesus can stand before the Father and say all those things. So by carrying our sins on the cross, He is letting us ride on His righteousness. He can say to the Father, I've got Barbara covered. Don't look at her sins because I paid for it. And I want you to see her as blameless. The Father accepts Jesus' righteousness as if it were ours. You see how exciting that can be? To be able to call the Lord Yahweh to Sidkenu. To some, this concept is a stumbling block, it says, because it seems too good to be true. Yes, I agree that it's simple. Simple enough for anyone to understand, but it's not too good to be true. It is true. Well, you say, what's the catch? Well, the catch is that you have to accept it. And that's something I've been emphasizing in all my messages. You have to accept it. It is not forced on anyone. We all continue to have a free will. And God desires that our relationship with Him is given freely from our heart with love. You see, we get to come into God's presence clothed with the righteousness of Christ if we only accept it. Our righteousness is like filthy rags before Him. And that is why He gave us Yahweh to Sidkenu. For He gave us the right to stand before His Father. Jesus did not only take away our sins, He became our sin so that we can become His righteousness. Jesus not only took away our sins, but He became our sin so that we can become His righteousness. This is the core of Jesus' redemptive work on the cross. We now have access and boldness by the blood of Jesus to enter the Father's presence and to say we're cleansed. Jesus took away our sins and gave us His righteousness. Jesus, the Holy King, who was to come from David's line and is the one who imparts His righteousness to us. He is Yahweh to Sidkenu, your righteousness. The seventh and last redemptive name that I want to look at today is Yahweh Rapha, our physician, or better yet, our healer. Our healer. God says in Exodus chapter 15, 26, He says, I, the Lord, Yahweh the great I am your healer. Remember, doctors don't heal. I understand that. They diagnose, they practice medicine, and hope that it will work. God, though, is the ultimate healer. Just as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness to save all those people who have been bitten by the poisonous snake, also the Son of Man will be lifted up, so every man that looks on Him, it says, shall be saved, shall live. Psalms 103, 2-3 says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Every man that looks spiritually upon the Son of Man, who allows Jesus to be the Lord of their lives, to allow Jesus to be his or her healer, shall be healed. Jesus took your sickness on the cross, and according to 1 Peter 2:24, healing is accomplished in the cross. He Himself, Jesus, bore our sins in His wounds on the cross, it says, that we might die to sin and to live to righteousness. For by His wounds we were what?
Healed.
Psalms 147:3 says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. In Jesus Christ, God has provided the final cure for spiritual, physical, and emotional sickness. Where are you today? Do you have spiritual, physical, and emotional sicknesses that seem to lag on? God can heal us and make us right before Him if we just let Him. God is Yahweh Rapha, our healer. As we close, I want to extend a personal invitation to all of you this morning. Ultimately, God poured out His desire to be healer through Jesus Christ. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says would be the destiny of the Messiah. Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, we are healed. Please note that present tense. We are healed. His work on the cross paid the total price for our healing once and for all. Do you need Yahweh Rapha today? I believe we all do, don't we? For your body, for your soul, for your mind, for your spirit. He is still in the healing business today. He is only a prayer away. Remember Him as Yahweh Shammah, our companion. As Yahweh Shalom, our peace. As Yahweh Rohi,
Arahi, our shepherd. Yahweh Jireh, our provider. Yahweh Nisi, our banner. Yahweh Tzidkenu, our righteousness. And Yahweh Rapha, our healer. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we ask for your healing power. We ask that you be our companion, our peace, our shepherd. We thank you for being our provider and our banner and our righteousness. And so this morning we ask you to also be our healer. Father, we know that you want to have that relationship with us. And if there's something in our lives that's standing between us and you, having the relationship we need to, we ask that you'll help us take that away. Through your Spirit, help us remove that stumbling block, that thing that's in the way, that's keeping us from developing the type of relationship that we should have with you. As we continue to study your names and understand who you are, help us to desire that even more in our lives. We want the peace. We want the companionship. We want the righteousness. We want the healing that you do provide. And we take you up on that today and ask for you to deliver on your promises as we increase our faith today in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.